Welcome to A Lindell's Choice, a place where we explore the art of living your best life and the challenges we face along the way. The journey is seen through the experiences of a husband, dad, coach, engineer, entrepreneur, athlete. I'm your host, Tima Lindell. We're back for another week. And what a glorious week it was. My soccer team had their soccer tournament canceled the week before, which was a real bummer. I was hoping we would play some teams that were better than us and really challenge us and give us motivation to get better, because that's really my concern right now. Over the weekend, we tied one game, won the other, so we're still undefeated. And the players, after we won that next game, they wanted our get-out cheer to be undefeated. I nixed that in the bud because I'm not going to do that when we just beat a team 4-0. That we're just not going to do that. That's not the way I roll. I'm not one to rub victory in the face of an enemy. Let's say, hey, let's act like we've been here before. We can save the undefeated cheer for our practice when we're done, and we can celebrate it outside of the immediate after effect of the game. It has been exciting. It's been an interesting journey. I've had this team for 2 years now, and last year we were in the bottom division of KSSL, and we finished in the middle of the pack. We were 4-5, 4 wins, 5 losses, 1 tie. In the fall, we had 3 wins, 4 losses, and a tie. We finished 3rd out of 5. And now here we are in the spring of 24, and we're still in that third division, but now we're sitting on top of the standings. We're 4-0 with 1 tie. The tie we had over the weekend against the other undefeated team, it was a good battle. It was a game we struggled early with. The other team had a lot of speed. They were had all their attackers up top. They kind of got us on the back foot. We were somewhat lucky not to give up a couple goals, but we did concede one. But then at halftime, the tides began to turn as we began to play a little better. We finally got the tying goal with about 5 minutes left. Their team got a little tired. They had 4 or 5 kids on the bench who they never subbed, which was really strange. They had their starters in for pretty much the entire game. I think they had 2 kids come in with about a minute left in the half. They had 1 kid come in and sub at the 15-minute mark of the second half. They were going to, I think, sub a couple more in with about 4 or 5 minutes to go when we tied the game, and those kids just shuttled their way back to the bench. It was quite the experience to play a team that just didn't sub anybody. They ended up tiring, which is how we got our goal, and I imagine if we get a chance to fix some of our problems, we could, I think, beat them pretty handily next time. Because our problem is one of my attackers, my strikers. They want to go directly to goal. They want to try to dribble through people. The team that tied us, they were pretty well organized. They were not like gifted athletes, but they were solid defenders, and they kind of were able to stonewall the middle of the field. The wings were wide open, but we didn't want to pass out there. It happens. It's the challenge of coaching young teams is getting them to get the ball off their foot, trust their teammate to send it back in. Because that's really how you score goals in that situation. The other team was really compact in front of the goal, well organized. If we were to play a ball out wide to space, the defense would have to shift. It would create openings for us to then pass back into the penalty area and get a better shot on goal. Our Sunday game, our second game, where we won 4-0, we had a moment where we actually did that, and it was, okay, this is my teaching moment. This was the moment where we did it right, where there was a pass inside, out, back in, back out, shot on goal, boom, went in. 4 straight passes, broke the defense down, got the shot, went in. I got to build on that this week. That's where this team has to go, because if they can fix the offensive side, our defense has been fantastic. Our kids really have understand the defensive side, understand the defensive principles, and have become solid defenders. It's been quite the ride as my team has gone from kind of the middle of the pack to a rising team on the upswing. And that's always exciting. Over the weekend, we also had Thunder over Louisville, which is always quite the fireworks show. This time around, we got Ray Singh tickets, which is the women's team in Louisville. They have tickets for like a 5 o'clock game, and then they kept the stadium open till about midnight in the parking lot till 1 a.m., which allowed us to kind of come in. We didn't get there super early because my son had game that day. His friends had games. So we got there about maybe half hour, an hour before the game. But they had it open all morning. We roll into the game. We watch the game. Before the fireworks down in Louisville, they also have an air show, so you get to see the planes fly over while we're watching the soccer game. It was pretty cool. Once the game ended, we had a couple hours to kill where the kids kind of played some soccer in the little cage they have in front of the stadium. They threw the football around a little bit. We got some food. We ate. About 9 or so, we started rolling down to the waterfront for the 9:30 fireworks show, and my son got to experience some urban culture. There was a group of about 30 or 40, maybe high schoolers, different races, just a whole bunch, very urban, diverse group. And we're just kind of walking down to the river, and like the whole group of 30 just at one moment just exploded running and went running by us. Totally freaked my son and his friends out. We get a little closer to the river, and someone lit off a couple firecrackers, and people were scattering. They thought it was a gunshot. I'm like, oh my gosh. They were all freaked out about it. But I had to reassure them, hey, that was not a gunshot. It was just firecrackers. And they kind of calmed down. We made it down to the riverfront, and we got a seat. We watched the fireworks. It was a really good show. The only downside was the wind was coming from the north, which is unusual because generally the wind comes from like the east or south. So it was blowing all the smoke back in our face, which made watching a little unpleasant having all that smoke come at you. But it was still a great show. It was a lot of fun. I think the kids enjoyed it. We worked our way back out to the soccer stadium, and we hung out there for about an hour or two, let the traffic go, because the traffic gets really bad. You know, when you have 600,000 people attending a fireworks show in an urban area, that's a lot of people to clear out and not a lot of major thoroughfares to clear them out on. It takes a while, but we were able to hang out in the parking lot. The kids went back up to the stadium. They played some more soccer and kind of hung out. It was good. It was a good experience for all of us. I hope they had fun. But we finally made it home around 1 o'clock that night. It was a very long weekend. I'm still tired from it all. Oh, man. Today I was out riding my bike. Well, let me back this up. Last week I was riding my bike. It was about 3 o'clock. I generally ride before I go pick my son up just to get my ride in. It was about 3 o'clock. There's a lot of cars picking their kids up at a nearby school and coming through. And there's a four-stop intersection. And I've got like two cars on me as I'm coming up to the stop sign. And they really can't pass me at this point because we're getting close. There's cars coming the other way. So I'm slowing these cars down. This is one of the things I hate about cycling, is that I'm a slower moving vehicle. And I know the people behind me are frustrated because they're having to wait for me. I get it. I get frustrated when I get behind slow moving vehicles as well. So I come up to the stop sign and I slow down. There's no cars coming at that moment in time. I'm just trying to get out of the way from the cars behind me, so I roll through it, go on my way into like a side street that doesn't have as much traffic. And I hear this guy yells like, hey, didn't you see that stop sign? And I'm like, what? That's weird. So today I'm out there riding again, and I come up and I just kind of roll through the stop sign about, 10 miles an hour, nobody around. And the guy yells at me, hey, did you see that stop sign? And I'm like, what? I'm going like 10 miles an hour. He's like, you're supposed to stop at that stop sign. I'm like, whatever. I keep riding. I'm trying to get my workout in. And I come back. And sometimes like karma works in your favor. This is one of those moments. I'm rolling up by his house. I see him out there. And the car that's in front of me, he's maybe like 40 or 50 yards in front of me, comes up to the stop sign, rolls through it. Doesn't come to a complete stop. So I roll by. Me being the troll that I am, I yell at him. I was like, hey, how come you didn't yell at that car for rolling through the stop sign? So this guy starts getting all kinds of mad at me. He starts yelling at me. So I roll back to him, and he starts complaining that I'm not paying taxes. And I'm like, well, you know, I probably pay more than you. And he's like, but you don't pay road taxes. And I'm like, I own like three cars. I have my car, my wife has a car, and my old Civic we kept because it's not worth a lot. It got damaged by hail. We didn't quite get that fixed, so it's not worth a lot of money. We kept it as just a vehicle that gets good gas mileage. That way we can take my son to practice in it and things of that nature. So I'm like, I pay plenty of taxes. And then he starts going on about how he almost hit a cyclist, and then he was threatening to hit me with a car. And I'm like, okay, I get it, dude. You don't like cyclists. It's all good, man. And then I left. He was still bitching and moaning when I rode away. Like, oh my God. Like, all I'm trying to do when I'm out there is just try to get out of the way of cars. You know, I've had cars pass me in dangerous situations. I've had cars buzz me. I've had people throw stuff at me out of a car. And this guy's complaining that I'm going through a stop sign. Oh my gosh. Oh, sometimes you just can't make up life. It is hilarious. Oh, I want to continue the fun this week and talk a little bit about bad luck. You know, at the end of the day, when we talk about bad luck, from a philosophical standpoint, it's really, we see bad luck, it's really just the negative opinions we have of the chaos of the world around us. Things happen. Some of them we're going to view as favorable to us. Some of them we're going to view as negative to us. And when it's ones that appear to go against what we desire, we call that bad luck. Everybody has the ups and downs of luck. It's just the way of the world. But you know, for myself, it seems like I'm plagued by random occurrences that are rare or really suboptimal. You know, if I go out on a bike ride and there's one cloud in the sky that rains, it's going to rain on me. That's the type of luck I have at times. You know, and look, I get it. People have a lot of bad things happen to them. You know, I have been lucky enough to have a relatively healthy family. I make a good living. You know, I've not had any major sicknesses. This episode's more about making fun of the really random stuff that happens to me in a very funny way. I'm trying to make this more. The last few years have seemed, these negative events have seemed to become a little more frequent. And it makes for fun to joke about your bad luck. And that's kind of where I want to go with this. Because the last few weeks have been relatively uneventful. So I'm on my way home Thursday. And I was thinking about, man, you know, I haven't had any of these random bad things happen to me. You know, maybe the tides have turned. Maybe I'm on a string of good fortune. Dude, like 5 minutes later, I'm not kidding, like 4 or 5 minutes after I thought this, a piece of metal comes up off the highway and cracks my windshield. I mean, I'm like, really? Really? I know cracked windshields happen, but they're pretty rare. That's the first time I've ever had one. And I'm 50-something. I've been driving for, 30-something years? And it's never happened to me. I mean, I've had a chipped windshield. I've had a lot of stuff come up and hit my windshield, but I've never had anything actually crack my windshield. So here I am thinking about, man, maybe I'm getting to do some, like, a string of good luck. I cracked my windshield. Oh. So I just thought, hey, I'm going to tell stories of some of the really weird bad luck I've had and just have some fun this episode. Maybe this goes into two episodes. I've got a couple just really good stories. The first one was a tri race I did. I did in Anderson, South Carolina. It's been a few years. It was the Rev 3. It was set up as the USAT Long Course National Championship. I'm like, I'll go. It should be fun. One of my friends, she did aquabike, and she had a real chance to win her age group national championship. So I'm like, I'll go with you. We'll go down there. We'll drive. It'll be fun. It'll be a good race. Chance for me to kind of have, you know, I do a half. I've done a couple halves before that. I've been able to break 5 once. I've had a 4:55. I had a 5:14 That was a wild one because that had its own interesting bad luck. That was one where my goggles snapped in half. I have never had goggles snap in half before in that race that happened in. The first half I raced, it was like 5:55, and that was not a great race. It was early in my career. I was not ready for it. You know, I'd been racing for a number of years at this point in time. And I came into it. My training wasn't great, but I'm like, okay. You know, you can do 5:15, 5:30. You know, just make it through. Kind of enjoy it as best we can. Like I said, my training wasn't all that great heading into it. So we get to this race. It's the day before. We go check everything out. And my friend, she gets a flat too. I'm like, okay, well, this is suboptimal. And we have to go find another tube. The problem is she has deep dish wheels, so you need a tube with like an 80 millimeter stem, which is a fairly long stem to get to work. So it's not like we can just go to like Walmart and just buy any tube. We have to like actually find somebody. So we spend like an hour or so walking around this area they have with all these different vendors. We had a vendor area we were walking through. We came across couple bike ones. Finally, we found some people that had some extra tubes. She was able to buy an extra tube. We get her tire pumped up. She's ready to go. We take our bikes to the second, transition area that was separate from where the race end was. So they had race start, or they had the race finish in one location. They had the first transition in another location. That first transition was where the swim was, and then they had a second transition where the race ended at, and they were in different locations. So once we got our tire pumped up, we made it to the transition area. We left our bikes overnight. Then we went by Walmart to get allergy medicine because her allergy was starting to act up this day as well, and I'm like, okay. We get to Walmart. We get the allergy medicine. We go up to the cashier, and we have run into the land of lethargy people. There's two lanes running. There's maybe about six or seven people in one lane, five or six in the other lane. And I swear it took 25 minutes, 30 minutes for us to check out. It's like, are you kidding me? After we get the allergy medicine, we go back, we eat, we chill out for the evening. I like get ready for the next day. We go to bed early. Everything's great. We get up early. We go to the race site. We set up transition two. And we get on a bus that takes us to where the swim was because it's in a different spot. It's like miles away. We get to the bike. You know, you have a little bag for your clothes. I take off my cold clothes so that put them in their bag, put them in my transition area. And I realize I didn't bring water bottles with me. I'm like, oh, great. So here I am at this race, and things are already starting off poorly and that I don't have water bottles for this 3-hour bike ride that's coming. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to worry about it too much. No big deal. They have aid stations along the way. So a third of the way into the ride, I'll be able to get a drink and I can just take that with me for the ride. It'll be great. We get in the swim, do the swim. I come out. My swim time wasn't very good. I seemed to come out okay in the pack, but I'm already behind kind of where I thought I would be at this point in time. I get on the bike. I take off. I had a candy bar kind of strapped to the top tube of my bike, and that was going to be my nutrition for the bike. I get about 50, 60 yards down the road. I heard thump, thump, and I'm riding. The guy's like, comes up behind me, like, oh, don't worry about it, man. It's all good. I think there's a candy bar in the road. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Thank you. And I'm riding. You know, and a minute or two later, I'm like, oh, wait. That was my candy bar. So here I am. I have no nutrition. I'm on this 3-hour, 56-mile bike ride, 3 hours. Oh. But I finally get the aid station. I get some drink. I have everything I need. I make it through there. I get out on the run. I'm like, oh, man. It's like a 3-hour bike ride. Here I am into the run. And I'm like, okay, this is not a great race. It happens. Not the end of the world. My goal is just to make it through. Let's get under 6 hours and be done with it. Because like the worst I did in my first one was like a 5:55. I should be able to easily break that. And then I'm about halfway through the run, and now I'm starting to cramp up. I'm just starting to get tired. Not cramp up. I'm just getting tired. I can't run anymore. Now I'm walking. Now I'm getting kind of upset with myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, this has not been a good race, blah, blah, blah. So I'm all negative on myself, which doesn't help things. But with about a mile or so to go, I start feeling a little better. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to break the 6 hours. There's no way I'm not going to break 6 hours. And so here I am. I'm running. I'm in good pace now. I'm probably going to do like a 5:58, which is not a good race, but 6 is like disaster for me. And I get about 100 yards from the finish line, and I get this cramp that takes me to the ground. Here I am, laying on the ground. Ah, I'm not really yelling out, but I'm like, people stop, like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I got a cramp. So I'm on the ground for a good minute or so. I get up, I can't run at all, so here I am limping. I limp down to the finish line, I look up, and it's like 6 hours just ticks across as I'm like walking down the runway, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So now I'm like upset. Like, this has been a complete disaster of a race. I went over 6 hours. I didn't think I would go over 6 hours. Not in my wildest dream. So this was like a disastrous race. And so I'm like very mad at myself. And then here, like my friend, she did aqua bike, so she was just done after the bike. And she had won, and she'd gotten her like master's aqua bike female champion. And so she was excited, and you know, I'm cheering for her. And it's really hard to get super excited because I had a horrific race. If I had broken 6 hours, I would have been much better for that whole thing. But I'm pretty upset at this point in time. Now, I know what you're thinking. This was just a bad race. It's random bad luck. No big deal. But here, this wasn't the bad luck. This was to set the stage for what was going to happen next. This was a race that didn't have soft drinks at the end. I love having like a Coca-Cola at the end of a race. It tastes so good when you're tired, you're exhausted, you're going through all this pain. Love me some Coca-Cola. But they don't have soft drinks in this race. It was kind of, they had like healthy stuff, which is fine. Gator, whatever. Some energy drinks and some water and stuff. I'm like, okay. Exhausted, but I know there's a Coke machine back at our hotel. Get in the car, load up all our stuff, drive back, take all my stuff, have to hobble up to the second floor. This was kind of a cheaper motel that had rooms on the outside. It wasn't like a hotel, because we were just staying down here for the race, so we didn't get anything fancy. And here I am lugging all my gear, my bike, up the steps to my room. I'm really tired. I get into the room, grab some money, head down to the Coke machines. You know, and just the Coke machine, you know, it has like the two Coke buttons, a Diet Coke, Cherry Coke, Sprite, maybe Diet Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Fanta, you know, the usual stuff that's in a Coca-Cola vending machine. And so, put my money in, hit the Coke button, out pops Cherry Coke. Of all the things in the vending machine, I hate Cherry Coke. Cherry Coke is nasty. I'm like, here I am looking at this Cherry Coke. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? Like, let's start. I want to just start going odds on this. What are the odds of this machine being misstocked? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 10,000? I don't really know the answers. I tried to look that up. Like, what's the odds of something being misstocked? It can't be common. I'm thinking like 1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000, because like there's what, 12 Cokes in each machine? You know, what, 7 or 8 things in a machine? So maybe like 1 in 100 get misstocked. I can't imagine there's a ton. So here I am, already at like 1 in 1,000 odds, 1 in maybe 10,000. Let's just go with 1 in 1,000 for the sake of the fun of this. Now, what are the answers? What are the chances of this being misstocked with the one drink I hate? If this had been Sprite, if this had been Fanta, any of those things, Dr. Pepper, I would have drank it. I wouldn't have been happy, but I would have drank it. No, I got the one of those 6 or 7 options that I won't drink. So now we're looking at like a 1 in 6,000 chance of this happening. So I'm like, okay, I do have some more money. So I hobble back upstairs to my room, come back down. I'm like, okay, there's 2 Coke buttons. Maybe the second Coke button has Coke in it. Put the money in, hit the second Coke button, out pops my Coke. Hallelujah. I got my Coke. This is cool. Yay. But like, so now there was like a 1 in 2 chance of me picking the right. Because if I had picked the right of those two buttons, we're good. So now I'm at 1 in 12,000 chance of what happened. Because this was a 50-50 opposition. The other one was worked. Were it rare, but not that rare. And at least I'm at least like somewhat relieved I have my Coca-Cola. I get back up to the room and my card. I swipe it a few times. It doesn't work, and finally it works. I get it. I kind of prop it open. I try a couple more times. It's no longer working. I'm like, oh man, this is great. So I play with it a few more times. It's not working. I keep it propped up. I roll back into the main desk, and we're sitting there for a little bit. I think there's someone else in front of me, and eventually I get up to the front and I'm like, hey, my card's no longer reading, and they're like, oh, okay. Well, the battery died, and it needs a new battery. We'll get somebody to change it. Okay, I'm cool with that. And so I'm just kind of hanging out. And about 10 minutes later, they call back, and they're like, well, the maintenance man is on staff today. He doesn't have the tool to change it. So you're going to have to move rooms. So here I am, having a terrible race. I'm exhausted. I did a 6-hour race. I'm tired. I just got a cherry Coke instead of a Coke. Now you want me to change rooms. So I have to hobble back, gather up all my stuff. And I didn't pack lightly. This is a trip away from home. So I had all my race stuff, but I also had all my maintenance stuff. I had a bike stand for my bike. I had all my cleaning supplies, all my tools to work on bikes. I had all these things and my clothes, all this stuff. So here I am hobbling them down. Like, I was down like 5 or 6 rooms. At least I didn't have to go down to the first floor. That would have been a real nightmare. That I guess could have been worse. But I have to move all my stuff into another room. Oh my gosh. I get it in another room and I'm like, you know, what are the chances that a battery scanner dies on you? You know, so I'm like, let's look this up. I'm kind of curious because I'm already at an event that was like 1 in 10,000 chance of happening, which is me getting a cherry Coke from hitting a Coke button. And I find out that a battery on one of these scanners lasts about 2 years. So now we're talking about a 1 in 700 chance of it happening on the day I'm there. Now, the way you calculate odds is that 1 in 700 gets multiplied to that 1 in 12,000. So the chances of me getting that cherry Coke and having my room fail was about 1 in 8 million. And now I'm like, okay, what is the chance that the maintenance guy doesn't have the tool necessary to change it, that they're going to have to wait till Monday? Is that like a 1 in 10 chance? So here I am, looking at like a 1 in 800, 1 in 80 million chance of this series of events happening. And then you add on the fact that I had like my worst race ever, which is like what, maybe a 1 in 5, 1 in 10 chance? I mean, it's not horrible odds to have having a bad race. But like the chance of all of these things happening on the same day is like close to 1 in a billion, 1 in 800 million chance of these things happening at the same time. Are you kidding me? I mean, you can't make this up. Oh my goodness. What? Like, are you kidding me? So sometimes, like, this is the random stuff that happens to me. I'm just kind of pointing it out because I do have another story. I'm kind of running over today. We'll bring it back. We'll talk about my other improbable story in the next episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.